Welcome to Discover Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard. And today we're doing the DF4Q with Caroline O'Brien and James Medeiros. Very quickly, the DF4Q is Discover Film 4 questions, and that's favorite films of all time, a film you think is underrated, a film you think is overrated, and a lesser-known film that you think people should seek out. James and Caroline collaborated on the great short film Puppet Life. You can watch it on discoverfilm.net right now. It's one of my all-time favorites. In fact, it's one of those short films that I love quoting funny lines from at home, even though no one really gets it. Here's the DF4Q with James Medeiros and Caroline O'Brien.
What's like one of those things, too, is like I use the Oscars to kind of know what I should watch. So like my stepmom, she's a movie buff as well. And, you know, when I was little, I was probably like 12. And I'd be like, oh, I love these movies, this and that. And, you know, I was so rambunctious about watching movies and about talking about them. And she was like, you're so lucky. And I was like, why am I lucky? You know, you got a 10-year-old. She's lucky. Mm-hmm. And it's like, because she's like, there was hundreds and thousands of movies that were made before you were even born that you've never seen. And you get to watch them for the first time. So like throughout my life, she would be like, watch this movie, watch that movie. And then I started, best birthday present I've ever gotten was a book on the history of the Oscars. And it was like, and my girlfriend at the time bought me the book. And I literally, the first thing I did was I started scanning and listing every person who ever was nominated for Best Actor. I wrote their name down and the year they were nominated. When they're nominated again, I wrote a second time. And then I wrote a list of all the best pictures, all the nominees, and then
it was your baseball stats.
Yeah, and I started buying all the movies. And then I had a list. Once I Rolodexed everybody who'd ever been nominated and how many times, I found the top 25 actors, directors, and actresses and made a list of them and the movies.
Who had been nominated the most?
The most, yeah. And I made a list of every movie they were nominated for, and I went out and bought those movies and then watched them. And then that was like my beginning kind of jumping off point of what I should start watching. And so like I fell in love with like Billy Wilder and like George Stevens and Frank Capra and like a lot of like, you know, old filmmakers, William Ware, like
and David Lean.
Like there's a lot of Fred Zimmer. Like there's a lot of really great movies out there. Like I really like George Stevens, like the way he did like landscapes and like natural lighting was unbelievable. Like, and so, you know, when I started doing that, I started, you know, memorizing those things and like I started, you know, kind of using that as like a jumping off point to kind of learn about film, learn about like where things kind of came from and stuff like that.
And I just like films where I want to be friends with the people in them. If there's no character I want to be friends with, I don't like the film.
So you only like likable people, so you like Tom Hanks?
Which is interesting. That's okay, your two lists, your two four questions are going to be really cool because you guys have very different
polar.
Well, yeah. Would either of you like to go first with your favorite films of all time?
Sure. My favorite is also what I think is the best, which is The Raging Bull. And then I would say my second favorite movie, not necessarily what I think is the best movie, would probably be Back to the Future because it was like the first movie that kind of sparked my enthusiasm in movies and acting, and Michael J. Fox kind of made me want to be an actor.
Didn't they recast that role?
Yeah, he was actually
someone else
because he was in a TV show. He was in Family Ties.
Yeah. So,
and he had to actually fly back and forth between filming both of them.
Yeah, but yes, things were going badly with Stoltz, and they pulled him in.
Yeah. How devastating.
Changed the world,
right?
Yeah.
Right. And then I would say Kramer versus Kramer, another one of my favorites. I think because it touched me as like a kid. Like my parents had a divorce and everything, and it's just kind of like emotionally, and when the kid cries and stuff, it just kills me every time. And I just love all the people in it, like their passion and like how life is so hard, you know. And then I'd probably say maybe Sophie's Choice, Godfather 2, Being There, which is also my most underrated movie, is Being There. I think people
are... Well, you're not allowed to answer. Well, that's fine. So your number two is Being There.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest films ever made.
I think so. I think the most.
I've never seen it.
I think the see.
Have
that's
you read?
Why,
have you read the short story?
No, I haven't.
Got
I'll write it down.
Get it from the library.
Peter Sellers is his best performance.
I only read it. I'm not that fancy pants, but I read it because it was assigned when I was in college.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
It was part of an English class I took.
Oh, that's so wonderfully made. Like, Melvin Douglas is so good too, and he's like, oh, I mean, Melvin Douglas won 3 Oscars for supporting actor, and only when he was like at over 50. Like he was in HUD and being there, like he was like in all these older movies because he was really old at that time. But yeah, being there is like, and Shirley MacLaine is so great, like. Peter Sellers just so like he kind of captures that essence of like what is Forrest Gump and Rain Man, like kind of like if they were like merge, I think they would find this like mystical twist of what is Chauncey.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible movie. Just everything about that.
It starts so slow too, and it's very drab. And I remember watching, my stepmom told me, watch this movie, you'll really like it. And I said, okay. And I watched it, and at first it had that real kind of grungy, like 70s look to it. Like it was very 70s, like the TV and then the stuff in the house. And it was very kind of like slow and lonely and sad. And you're like, oh, I'm not going to like this movie. And then as soon as he walks out the door, it's like, whoa. he just kind of Forrest Gumps his way through life. And it was pretty awesome. Yeah. Most underrated movie, I think. By far.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Caroline, now you get to do questions 1 and 2.
There you go.
So, favorite movies of all time, definitely Lion. You got to see that. You're going to love it. It's amazing. Do you remember Places in the Heart?
I remember the title, but I didn't see it.
It's got Sally Field. I don't know if that's the one she won the Oscar for. You'll be able to tell me.
It's a play.
Places in the Heart is a movie as well. Danny Glover and John Malkovich. And it's about a young widow of a police officer back in olden days. And Danny Glover works for her, and she takes in a blind boarder who is John Malkovich, and she's trying to make things work by growing cotton after her husband's death. It's really a beautiful... It's a beautiful movie about humanity. It's really incredible. Princess Bride.
Oh.
Princess Bride, all time. and I love, because I teach acting when I'm in Australia as well, and I love talking about Mandy Patinkin being Inigo Montoya, and that he used his father's death from cancer to be the cancer was the six-fingered man. And he said before he shot that last scene, he was walking around in the moat outside the castle talking to his dad, who is really close to and he really missed. And he said, when I get the six-fingered man, I get the cancer that took you away. And so when he killed the six-fingered man, he said he got the cancer that killed his dad. And for a moment, he had his fairy tale. And I was like, I always give that to my students and say, don't slack off because it's comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's comedy is harder.
Don't slack off on comedy is the lesson.
Yeah,
because comedy
also
is deeper.
Just how you can pull.
Yeah. Comedy is deeper and more tragic than drama, so you better go the whole way. It's not to make you laugh. It's to make the audience laugh. So, yeah, I love that. Crash, I already mentioned. Fried Green Tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe. I love that movie. Underrated, I would say Paradise Road.
Wait, what was your overrated? Oh, I'm sorry. Underrated.
Underrated, Paradise Road, which is an Australian film, which was Kate Blanchett's, one of her first, and it's got Glenn Close in it, and it's about women POWs, and they create a choir, and that's what keeps them sane while they're prisoners of war. It's so beautiful.
I'll be curious what your fourth question is, because that one could have been like a secret gem, I think.
Yeah.
Because I've never heard of it.
Oh, the secret gem?
But not to push you.
Yeah.
What?
And I think, I was thinking about Hurricane, because I love Denzel Washington in that so much.
Honestly,
like,
one of my favorite.
When I watched that, my best friend and I went twice to see it, and we were like, we wanted to take notepads in to take notes, because there was lines in that movie, like Books Choose You and stuff like that, that I wanted up on my wall so I could read every day.
Yeah.
Or just the letters that they wrote to each other. Like when it's like, you know, I'm in a prison and then it's like light has shined through the cracks of the bricks.
And I'm like, what problems do I have? Like, you know, I've got no excuses in life at all. When,
and he's like, I don't believe in coincidences. He's like, the fact that the first book you bought was my book. And
that this young kid who had very little power could make such a difference in this guy's life and injustice and justice. And I thought Denzel Washington was amazing in that.
I thought he should have won an Oscar for sure.
Yeah.
That does make it underrated. That
Kevin Spacey won over him. For American Beauty.
Oh.
Which I thought definitely that Denzel deserved it, but that's my personal thing.
I didn't watch it and now I may not.
American Beauty.
Yeah, so good. Such a good movie. Sam Mendes.
Amazing movie.
Amazing. Just
I hope he doesn't have a scar on it now.
Yeah.
So
what was the next question?
All right, yeah, the next one is the fun one because if you enjoy being critical.
Oh, I don't.
So here's the thing.
She didn't want to answer this.
And some people have said, you know what? All films have merit and I won't say anything's
overrated.
We
may come to blows on this one.
Right.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah. Right.
He may see my wrestling technique and let me tell you I've been bred from criminals.
Because mine, everybody's going to hate me over. Like, especially, I don't know if I should say it, this climate that we're in right now.
Go on out yourself.
I think the most overrated movie is Bridesmaids.
Are a terrible person.
Right. I just, when I went to see it.
That's your Maginot line? You cannot criticize Bridesmaids.
Right?
You need to take a long, hard look at yourself.
I just was like, I watched the movie and I just did not find it funny, and it was like gross, and I don't find that kind of humor overall funny. So no matter who the protagonist is or whatever, like potty humor is not my
cup
of tea.
But what about Melissa McCarthy taking on too many puppies? What about her knowing where the nuclear
What about her pooping in the sink?
Sink or the street?
No, she pooped in the sink.
Oh, she pooped.
Somebody else.
This is a person's opinion. Right. And has every right to.
And so like,
we
will say
keep
I really
for
any
time
really
we have
like,
differences of opinion.
I have to say I like Bridesmaids a lot, but I think it was a half hour. There was a lot that should have been cut.
Yeah.
Listen, I've got to tell you,
as a
woman, it was amazing and exhilarating to see women who were funny, women who could be crass. And it was, you can
women
tell.
Women who were actually the leads.
Right.
Yes. And you can tell, and women who can make mistakes, and women friendships. Mm-hmm. Like, all these things are so important. And a lot of the time, women's roles are just looking to the men for, what are we going to do? You know, it's
100%
they're
agree.
They're like, terribly boring roles. And these were written, and the fact that there was so much improv in that.
Right.
Is just genius, and I just love the chemistry between Melissa McCarthy and her husband. Like, that was just such a gem. Like,
I just feel like I love what Bridesmaid has done for film and women, and the idea that, like, you know, as writers and producing and acting and all that stuff, I think it's great. I just feel like the movie itself is way overrated because
Chris O'Dowd is amazing in it
because of what.
See, for me, when I say it's too long, the one thing I would just cut everything between with the cop.
Yeah,
because I don't think
but that's the only love
needed
interest.
A guy. I don't think she needed that love interest. I don't think she needed
a
guy.
She changed what she thought she was worth and what she would put up with in a relationship.
And although I found
but all the stuff with him is
Although I found it funny, like I did find it funny in many parts. Somewhat I didn't find funny, but
you're arguing with yourself.
One of the reasons why I think it's so overrated is in no way, shape or form should it have been nominated for Best Supporting Actress or Best Screenplay. And I feel like because it was written by women, and I feel like there was like an agenda there where it was like, because
I hope you enjoyed The Only Puppet Life.
because of who wrote it and who produced it and all that stuff, that, you know, it kind of got way more.
Yeah, but it was there was a groundswell of positivity for it, and right. You know that happens with films, regardless of gender. Or this
honestly,
or that.
It was a female version of Hangover. Which
but
is
there
fine.
Hadn't been one before, so you know right. The movie you were talking about before.
But
that
was Hangover
about...
not? Did Hangover win Best Screenplay and nominated for Best Supporting Actor?
Did it break ground?
Did Zach Galifianakis get nominated for Supporting Actor?
Socially,
he should have then.
Culturally, did he it break
is.
Ground? He's amazing.
So fucking, interesting.
Have you watched Baskets?
No.
Is that his show?
Yes, that's
yes,
his
I
show.
I love his show. Oh, The Two Ferns?
No, Between Two Ferns yeah. is his web series.
Yeah.
You have to watch Baskets on, I think it's on FX. It's so if you go to the FX website, Baskets is where he plays a clown with a twin brother who owns a shitty job placement thing. And it's based in Bakersfield, I think.
Oh, really? Okay.
And, I love that.
It's and Louis Anderson won the Emmy for playing his mom.
I'm going to have to watch this.
It's...
What's it on? FX, did you
FX.
Say?
So I think it's... You can watch all the episodes at FX.com.
I would like
FX.
To see him and Melissa McCarthy in a movie together. I think that would be interesting.
He's... Because he's... They're both funny at yeah. a deeper level than people. Yeah.
Right. And like, did you see Due Date that it was a kind of a flop?
Yeah,
with
that was funny.
Robert Downey Jr. There's a scene in that movie that just absolutely got me when he's like, oh, you know, making fun of him because he's like, he's an actor and all this stuff. And he's like, you know, act then. Show me something. Like, show me you're this actor. And he changes his name from like a really good actor name, like John Chase or something, to like some crazy long name that's really hard to say. And he's like, act. And he's like, okay, you're at the Super Bowl and you're coaching your team and they're down by 40 points and you got to get them to come back. Go. And then he's like, come on, guys. And he's doing like really bad. He's like, you can do it. And he's like, now your phone's ringing. Answer the phone. It's your wife. She's going to divorce you. And then he answers the phone and he's like, why would you do this to me? And then all of a sudden, the character, because his dad just died and he's kind of dealing with it, he has this moment where he's like really talking about his dad. And then he just loses it and he gets so sad. And he starts like crying. He's like, why would you do this to me? Why would you leave me? And all this stuff. And then you're just kind of like, whoa. And then even in the scene, Robert Downey Jr. is kind of like, whoa. But it was so many levels that I was just like, this is wonderful. And it was just that one scene.
So there's
that
something
was,
in Due Date that's...
Just that one scene, it was kind of killed me. But it was like so good.
It happens. Look,
man. Yeah. Sometimes it's not the whole movie, but it's just like a scene or two. But...
Mm.
What was your most underrated,
so
overrated?
I don't do underrated because...
Overrated.
I have this belief that it's anyone can be a critic. And I think when you're creating your own stuff and putting it out in the world, when you see other people's stuff, you're so wowed by the fact that they got off their ass and did that or were brave enough to put that out in the world no matter what it was, that you... And you know the effort that it takes... And the bravery it takes to do that, I'm never that interested in.
Right. Well, technically, overrated doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah, yeah.
It means the conventional wisdom on it, our culture
likes it more.
Is over rewarding it for various reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just want to do another underrated one.
Fine, feel free.
And it's Sally Hawkins. She's my favorite actress.
I love that movie.
She's amazing in Happy Go Lucky. And she has a driving instructor who's like a nutcase who keeps saying, En Raha. She was just in Maud with Ethan Hawke too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that was really good. But she was Happy Go Lucky. She was a character that was just really positive and happy about the world. And she was like, even if things were going, you know, it was just to watch her in that movie made you feel better about life. I think everyone should see it. And then we were talking the other night. We didn't give away our things, but I couldn't believe you hadn't seen The Life of Brian.
Oh, yeah. And I think I watched some of it because you forced me 2 years ago, I think.
Really?
I think I watched part of it.
You need to watch it again and take notes. Yeah.
See, I would argue it's better than Holy Grail.
It's way better than Holy Grail.
Yeah,
it's the best thing they ever did.
Really deep humor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Brian and Sue's my wife.
And then the People's Front of Judea. Oh, so anyway.
The People's Front of Judea or the Judean's People's Front. That's because you were in
That's
a...
That's him. He's the people of Judea. Yeah, front. Yeah. We're the people's front of Judea.
Who's he? The popular front. And he's sitting by himself. It's really good. You'll love it.
All right. Well, the last question is...
this has been so fun.
Thank you.
You're yeah. so good at this.
It's fun. You know, these film festival Q&As, every one of them we have to stop when you want to keep going.
Yeah.
That Q&A, we had so much fun yeah, at the Q&A, didn't we?
A lot of people asked a lot of interesting yeah. questions. Like, you know, we did one last night and nobody from the audience got to ask us anything, which I thought was interesting because I really? Liked fielding the questions. Like, I like people yeah. like... What do they think? Like, what do they want to know? Like,
see, I try to get out of the way.
Yeah.
I just say, you're very good at it. How'd you get this going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then yeah. anyone want to ask them anything?
Cause yeah. Because interesting what people, you know, they just watch it. And then, I mean, with ours, usually they have a lot of questions, too, because, you know, puppets and all that's different.
Yeah, see, they could go, yeah. they could go an hour.
Mm. Yeah, like, how do you do the puppets? Mm. Like, how'd you learn or whatever?
We could talk about it all day.
You could,
yeah,
you
finding.
Could do a special screening. Yeah, if you could only, if you only four wall and just own the theater, you know.
Then we're going to start like retreats, puppet life retreats, where people can come away and just watch the whole series, the whole season.
You can have a special screening where only mixed race couples get to attend.
Yes, yes. <That'd be funny.
laughs> What was the last question?
The last one is, like, oh, I call it the secret gem. Yeah, a lesser-known film that people should seek out.
There's a lot of movies on that front. Well, if I was going to do recently, I would say last year there was a movie called Man Down that was done by Vito Montel, I think his name is. He's the same one that did the Guide for Guarding Our Saints, I think, with Shia LaBeouf and Channing Tatum. And, yeah, he did this movie with Shia LaBeouf again, and it's about PTSD. It's really, really good. Like, nobody saw it, though. I don't know why, but...
I think there's prejudice against Shia.
Maybe. I mean, I think maybe people... Like, I know I was talking to my friend, Jalil, who's... Me and him go watch movies all the time together, and he... we have completely polar opposite opinions. Like, he likes movies that are about nothing and just, like, really interesting characters. And I'm a really plot-driven kind of person. And I like a story. I like the story and the theme and all these kind of, like, things to happen. And he likes nothing. Like, he's like, you know, like American...
He wants a popcorn movie?
Like, he loves American Honey, like, which I had problems with because they're interesting characters and they go on a journey to nowhere, and then they're ending the journey similar to the place they started it. And I'm kind of like, why? You know? And so he's like, but they were cool people, and I like just watching them. So, like, you know, we debate about things like that. And I told them, you should see this movie. It's really interesting. It's really different. And it's really kind of like messes with your mind a little bit. And he's like, oh, Shia, I won't see it. I was like, why not? I was like, oh, I hate Shia. And I was like, why? And I was, he's like,
you're oh. outing him. What if he has to work with him?
but, you know.
Actually, I'll probably just.
Yeah.
I'm just joking.
But, yeah, but yeah, Channing Tatum, same. But
you'd forgive Jaleel anything yeah. anyway.
But, you know, he just doesn't like popcorn people. He doesn't like cookie cutter kind of like, you know, movies or anything like that. So he's already kind of like put it in this box, but I was like, oh, it's kind of like Inception in a way where it's like a flashback and a flashback, and like kind of like they kind of really kind of the way he does the film, it's it kind of gets you in the mind of somebody who's been traumatized by war, and really, really interesting and a good message. Like, but I think people should see it. Like, I every time I talk about it, like, nobody has seen it, and I'm like, really? Like, and it came out last year, like Oscar time around that yeah. time. But and I go out and see just about everything that I can. I've seen 4 movies in the last 4 days.
And you went to a film festival yeah. where you're on.
I saw a movie after that. I saw my friend
Dahmer. Because you were already at Film Langley, which is great.
I saw my friend Dahmer, which was unbelievable. And it was like really like creepy. Like I still feel a little like I'm looking over my shoulder like.
I'm going to use it.
The kid that was in, they did a Q&A. I guess I missed it. The showing before mine, the actors and all of them came and did a Q&A, and they were so good. Like, I was like, man, that kid really captured this
essence. God, I love a good Q&A.
Yeah.
I mean, I will see films alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'd always rather see it with a group of people, not just one or two, but a group. Because discussing the discussion after a film is part of the experience.
I truly agree. But then again, I see so many movies, it's really hard to get people to go with me all the time.
Oh, I love going to the movies by myself. That's cool. It's so fun.
Well, I go all the time just because I never used to. Like, before I came out to L.A., like, I never went to the movies by myself, and I would never do that. But then I just was like around Oscar time, and because we get all the movies, being in LA, it's nice. And I was like, man, I just want to see these movies. Like, I can't wait for people. Like, I gotta go. Like, and so I just started going on my own and got used to it.
Well, so what's your lesser known film that people should seek out?
I loved, did you ever watch the documentary, What the Bleep?
The Bleep?
It was like, I love the look on your face.
Wait till I tell you about that, but really? That's a very good documentary, isn't it?
It like takes science and spirituality and human nature and it kind of, and as an actor and how emotions come about in your body and like how we can be just as addicted to anger as we can be to cocaine or like, it's just, it's so great. And Marley Matlin's in it and she's so great in it and the other girl's so great in it. Like, it's just, for me, it blew my mind apart. Like, I watched that movie and I thought, I know nothing. I was Jon Snow in that moment before Jon Snow was Jon Snow. I just think it's such a life-changing, and it was before any of these documentaries sort of started. Like, you know, You Can Heal Your Life or The Secret or any of those sorts of things started. It was the first one. It was The Mothership. And the other one is Remember the Titans. It just makes me so happy. Like, it's got the best soundtrack and...
But everybody's seen it.
Not to criticize you, because I would never do that because you're wonderful. But
you can.
Remember the Titans, that should be your underrated then.
Ah.
Because it's very well known.
Everybody's seen it, yeah. It's not like something people have to
go. Has everyone seen it?
Yeah, that was a big movie.
Maybe it was big in Australia. Yeah.
And then they did the, you know, inspired a bunch of imitators and things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Similar story, kind of.
I will tell you something.
Tell me the story.
In 3 minutes. Let me give you guys question number 5. There is no fifth question, but there's been an internal debate in here if question 4 instead of the secret gem thing should be guilty pleasure.
Oh, that's another one. Like,
I like that.
I really love romantic comedies, and like,
so do I.
I know, and like,
that's why you shot a date movie,
right? And I do a lot of, all my plays are kind of relationship plays too, but
you break them up.
So what would your guilty pleasure be? You know, it's kind of schlonky.
I have multiple. Well, I don't know if it's schlonky, but I have multiple. House sitter.
If I'm having a bad day and I watch House Sitter, everything's going to be all right. Or Anne of Green Gables.
There's like 4 movies that I literally watch every 6 months just because they make me feel good or I just like to see them. Meet Joe Black, I literally watch that every 6 months. And I think it's just like one. I do think it's underrated big time, but
are you depressed?
But that's not a guilty pleasure because that's a pretty well-regarded film.
I don't know. Like, I feel like, I don't know, people like me shouldn't be watching it. Like, I don't know, like, it's like a romantic film. You know what I mean? So, like...
I guess.
It is, but I mean,
it's about... just because it's about how handsome Brad Pitt is?
No, Brad Pitt's great in it, though. Like, it's about love. I mean,
but remember, you admitted last night, too, that you love... we both love Peggy Sue Got Married.
Oh, I do, yeah, that's great. But, like, also...
Nick Cage.
Yeah, I watch... It's the grandparents. The Time Traveler's Wife, like... Every 6 months, too. Like, I love that.
Oh, the book is so much better than the movie. Oh, my God.
I think Time Traveler's Wife might be somebody's underrated.
Really? Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if I think I did see it.
Yeah.
You should definitely
read About it. Love, oh, too. I love that movie, too. Anything with Rachel McAdams in it, I could probably see.
She's amazing.
There you go. That's the DF4Q with Caroline and James. As you might have noticed, I left in a lot of stuff where we're not discussing their DF4Q, but those two are such film lovers that just their general discussions about films and the Oscars, you know what? I thought it was worthy of the podcast. Okay, to wrap up, go to discoverfilm.net to see their film Puppet Life right now. I guarantee you're going to like it. You can also go to discoverfilm.net to see a bunch of other great shorts or to get links to some great feature films.
You should always be aware of Film Invasion LA and the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. Those are the two festivals I currently program, and I'm very proud of the films we show there. Thank you for listening.